When they got to the curve in the road, the man was still standing there. There was no place for him to go. The boy kept looking back, and when he could no longer see him, he stopped, and then he just sat in the road sobbing. The man stopped and dug their shoes out of the cart and sat down and began to take the wrappings off the boy's feet. "You have to stop crying," he said.
"I can't."
He put on their shoes and then stood and walked back up the road, but he couldn't see the thief. He came back and stood over the boy. "He's gone," he said. "Come on."
"He's not gone,"
the boy said. He looked up, his face streaked with soot.
"He's not."
"What do you want to do?"
"Just help him, Papa, just help him."
The man looked back up the road.
"He was just hungry, Papa. He's going to die."
"He's going to die anyway."
"He's so scared, Papa."
The man squatted and looked at him. "I'm scared," he said. "Do you understand? I'm scared." The boy didn't answer. He just sat there with his head bowed, sobbing. "You're not the one who has to worry about everything." The boy said something, but he couldn't understand him. "What?" he said. He looked up, his wet and grimy face.
"Yes, I am," he said. "I am the one."
They wheeled the tottering cart back up the road to where they'd left him, and stood there in the cold and the gathering dark, and called, but no one came.
"He's afraid to answer, Papa."
"Is this where we stopped?"
"I don't know. I think so."
They went up the road, calling out in the empty dusk, their voices lost over the darkening shorelands. They stopped and stood with their hands cupped to their mouths, hallooing mindlessly into the waste. Finally, he piled the man's shoes and clothes in the road. He put a rock on top of them. "We have to go," he said. "We have to go." They made a dry camp with no fire. He sorted out cans for their supper and warmed them over the gas burner, and they ate, and the boy said nothing. The man tried to see his face in the blue light from the burner. "I wasn't going to kill him," he said, but the boy didn't answer. They rolled themselves in the blankets and lay there in the dark. He thought he could hear the sea, but perhaps it was just the wind. He could tell by his breathing that the boy was awake, and after a while, the boy said,
"But we did kill him."
In the morning, they ate and set out. The cart was so loaded it was hard to push, and one of the wheels was giving out. The road bent its way along the coast, dead sheaves of salt grass overhanging the pavement, the lead-colored sea shifting in the distance, the silence. He woke in the night with the dull carbon light of the crossing moon beyond the murk, making the shapes of the trees almost visible, and he turned away, coughing. Smell of rain out there. The boy was awake. "You have to talk to me," he said.
"I'm trying."
"I'm sorry I woke you."
"It's okay."
He got up and walked out to the road, the black shape of it running from dark to dark. Then a distant low rumble, not thunder. You could feel it under your feet. A sound without cognate, and so without description. Something imponderable shifting out there in the dark. The earth itself contracting with the cold. It didn't come again. What time of year? What age the child? He walked out into the road and stood. The silence. The saliter drying from the earth. The mud-stained shapes of flooded cities burned to the waterline. That a crossroads, a ground set with dolmen stones, where the spoken bones of oracles lay moldering. No sound but the wind. What will you say? A living man spoke these lines. He sharpened a quill with his small penknife, described these things in slow or lamp black, at some reckonable and entabled moment? He is coming to steal my eyes, to seal my mouth with dirt.